The first reading today, as St. Paul tells us, that first of all, he has become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. Talks about the fact that they're fools, that they're weak, that they are naked and buffeted and hunger and thirst, that they toil with their own hands, they're reviled, they're persecuted, they're maligned, they become the offscouring of the world. And he says, I write this to admonish you, to warn us, because this is the lot of Christian people. If we're going to truly live our faith, this is what we have to expect. If you haven't noticed, things are becoming more and more obvious. Yes, the anti-Catholic bias has been there in the media for years, and we can talk about all that, but just look at what's happened the last couple of weeks. Go back to the Olympics and look at that blasphemy that took place. And what's most amazing about that is they've passed all of these abominable laws in Europe taking away free speech. But it's perfectly okay to blaspheme God and to revile Christian people. But the Christian people who stood up and said this is wrong, they can be arrested for hate speech. And the woman who was playing Jesus in that disgusting display is now suing everybody who said that this was wrong. That's okay for that to happen. It's not okay for you to say that this was wrong. In other words, it's perfectly fine to insult you, but if you say anything, you're wrong. And of course, in Europe, they've made it against the law. They're trying to do the same in America. It hasn't gotten there quite yet, but they're doing everything in their power to make it happen. Then just look at the despicable events that have taken place in the last week. We had that Democrat National Convention where they're offering free abortions and free sterilizations to anybody who wants them. And a Catholic cardinal showed up and gave the opening invocation. At the most heinous, anti-Catholic, anti-Christian, anti-God event in years that has taken place this way, where it's right in your face and they don't care. In fact, they're proud of it and no one's going to say anything different. We had a cardinal of the Catholic Church show up and, of course, didn't ever use the name of Jesus. Just some generic God that was being prayed to. And for what? Prayed for peace at the most hateful group that I've seen in a long time. It's really humorous. I mean, when we're redefining the language so that it no longer means what it says, we are told that this is the party of joy. Did you see any? Lots of hate is what I saw. Lots of anger is what I saw. I didn't see any joy. In fact, the only thing that I see anybody rejoicing in are things that are disgusting. They're only happy when they're angry. Oh boy, that's joy. We're angry, isn't that great? But understand well what's coming. They're coming after you. And it's not going to be long before they do. Then you will have the opportunity to be a spectacle before God, the angels, and all of humanity. Are you willing to do that? It's coming, and it's coming quickly. Are you prepared? Jesus told us in the gospel that we're not to be afraid because God was pleased to give us a kingdom. We pray for the coming of that kingdom every day. But that kingdom has to come into our hearts before it's ever going to come into the world. Is it there? This isn't a pipe dream. This is a reality. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. And so each one of us needs to look inside and ask, is that where my heart is? On the kingdom of God? On the Lord? Is he the treasure? Is eternal life where I want to be? Or is there something more important to me than those things? Because if there is, when it comes time to be made a spectacle, all we're going to do is make a fool of ourselves. I guess we'll make a spectacle of ourselves, that'll be true, but the wrong way. Because we're going to wimp out. Because the kingdom of God wasn't what was most important. Because our heart wasn't focused where it needed to be. Because our treasure was something of the earth. And consequently, when we had to make a choice, we'll make the wrong one. That's why we need to get our hearts focused where they belong, quickly. They're making no bones about what they're about. It's coming fast. We need to be prepared. We need to have our hearts focused on the Lord. So number one, we don't panic. We don't even have to lose our peace. Just keep your focus on the Lord. That's where your treasure is. You've got nothing to fear. What, they kill you? Straight shot to heaven? The treasure is yours. You've obtained it if that's the case. I mean, think about it. If you're a martyr, no purgatory. Heck of a deal. At least if you're like me, if you make it to purgatory, you're going to be there for a long, long time. If there's a free ticket straight up, take it. Don't run away from it. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Run to it. It's a straight shot to the treasure. But before we can do that, we have to make sure that that's the treasure, that that's what we really want. So if, and as our Lord tells us in some of the other parables, the treasure is buried, it's hidden, then we have to seek it. If, as we just heard, God has given us a kingdom, and it must be in our hearts before it's ever going to be in the world, it's hidden within. That's where we need to go to find it. It would be nice if this was a Christian world. It would be nice if everybody was living a good moral life. They're not. And it's going further and further and further away from where it's supposed to be. And if we don't want to get caught up in the current that is dragging the world the wrong direction, then just go inside. There isn't a current there. You're just with him. You can be at peace. Let the current go. If somebody wants to go that way, we just have to allow it. Sure, we can do our part to try and bring them back. But if they don't want to listen, that's their choice. Don't let them drag you down with them. That's the key. Keep your focus where it belongs. And so look seriously at that question. In all honesty, I mean, again, if I ask the question, where is your treasure? We'd all love to be able to say it's Jesus. It's heaven. It's eternal life. It's God. Is it? That's the question each one of us needs to ask in all honesty, in brutal honesty within our own selves. Because if we're going to be made a spectacle, and St. Paul told us all of these things as a warning, to admonish us, it's coming. And if it's going to happen, we're only going to remain faithful if that's our real treasure. And maybe again, in God's mercy, it may be like St. Peter, where He thought that that was his treasure. He said that it was, and then when push came to shove, he denied Jesus three times. But that's where he learned his lesson and recognized what he'd done and rejected it and made the Lord his treasure and put his focus in that way to the point where he was willing at that point to die for the Lord. So maybe in God's mercy, he'll allow things to happen so that we will recognize where our treasure really is. If we'd like it to be in that place, but it's really quite not, but we're just not sure of that, then he'll let you see that. He'll let you fall on your face, not because he doesn't like you, but because he knows that your heart isn't entirely on him. You don't know that yet. And so he'll let us fall on our face if that's what's going to happen, in order to get up and be like St. Peter, get on track. And then as Jesus said to him, after you have returned, then you must strengthen your brethren. That'll be our task, to help others, to point them in the right direction. But before we can point anybody in the right direction, we have to be on that path ourselves. So look honestly, look seriously at that question, because we have a warning placed right before us by St. Paul himself. This is the lot of Christian people. Our Lord has told us how to handle this. We have a kingdom. We have a king. We have everything we need. We have a treasure that is buried within. If that is where our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be. The question is it?